Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
B-Pod Studios.
Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher and Rich on 95, the Sports Hub.
They've denied it, and Bill said that he has nothing to do with Kraft Productions. And I know Kraft Productions, and they're a separate part of the building, but however, Kraft Production is under the umbrella, which is the New England Patriots, so it looks bad. Him and Saban this week talking about their philosophies and why they're such great coaches, and then you get this. And all it does is open up that wound and open up that scab so everybody can just say they're cheaters. Once again, what were we thinking? I'm a member of the New England Patriots for my entire career, and I'm thinking, what were you thinking that this was a good idea to bring in a camera crew? Still, you want to do your job series? I've seen it. They're good little pieces, yes. But this one, they weren't thinking what it would perceive, how the optics were. The way it looks is terrible.
That, of course, Teddy Bruschi talking about the filming of the Cincinnati sidelines.
Oh, just thank you, Teddy Bruschi. You are making the point that we've been making all week, and everyone out there has been missing the point, saying, well, I mean, let's watch this video. There's no competitive advantage. They use headsets. You really think they wanted to spy on the Bengals? That's never been the point. Bruschi said it best. What we've been saying is that the Patriots were so stupid not to think about what a bad idea all of that was, and how everyone should have known, and nobody did anything to stop it.
Well, I think you haven't gone far enough, and everyone can get mad at me. But because when I first saw the video, I said, oh, who cares? I even said it to Hurley. I'm like, who cares? But apparently, according to most players, that there is a lot to glean from looking at the sidelines.
There's been coaches who have been quoted as saying that you can't. You know what? And real quick, this was interesting, and whatever you think about whether it's conspiracy or this guy's a hater, Dan Orlovsky was on TV yesterday, and he made an interesting point.
I know that everything gets radioed in. You know what happens a lot in Foxborough? Your radio goes out. So, I mean, I've been there before when the radio's out all game and you have to signal stuff in. You have to signal personnel. You have to signal plays. There's hidden signals between coaches. You can absolutely gather something from that video if you're doing your job well enough.
I just think of Mike Tomlin saying that he was listening to Scott Zolak in his headset.
And he'd never been happier. But and then I guess if you look at the whole video, it is entirely the Cincinnati sideline and then into the Cincinnati huddle and then back to the Cincinnati sideline. There's literally no footage of the Cleveland sideline.
Well, the only thing I would say to that is that that's what they said they were going to be filming, what the scout is looking at.
Okay. However, you're not allowed to do that. And however,
I know you're not.
The scout also conveniently went to take a dump.
No, it wasn't the scout. It was the videographer.
The videographer went to go take a dump while the camera was going.
Which and I don't get why you would tell them that.
Because he wasn't around.
But he said he said he filmed the field. And then he goes, and then I went to go take a dump. It's not like he was filming something completely innocent, went to take a dump, and someone grabbed the camera and turned there. He admitted to filming the sideline.
Well, maybe he just wanted to take a dump. I mean,
unnecessary.
Every one of these Patriots situations involves someone taking a dump.
Now, that's true, which I find interesting.
In Deflategate, it was the guy had to go take a dump, and he brought the balls in with him.
No, I know why they did that, because that's when they said he deflated the balls, allegedly. But this one was just, I'm going to tell the world I got the squirts.
And I just saw something on TV where the guy that was there, I can't misquote him. I don't want to misquote him. Will Brinson is a senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Brinson, you have an eye on the NFL. You cover the league as a whole. This is starting to become a lot bigger than I think we thought it was.
Yeah, and look, by the way, just sitting here waiting to talk to you guys, it's no wonder you guys keep piling up these Marconi awards. dump, dump, dump. You know, it's
true. Every one of these things is someone going to the bathroom. You don't find that odd?
It is. See, that'll sort of tie into why I don't believe that Bill Belichick purposely orchestrated this whole Spygate.
Neither do we. I don't believe that at all. Yeah. I don't believe yet. I just know I'm with Team Teddy Bruschi. Is that even if it's the most innocent thing ever, the whole idea, why would you knew better than to bring a video camera into the booth, and the videographer had worked there for 18 years through Spygate, so he knew, and the scout sitting next to them, he knew. So to get, even if you were trying to get the tiniest bit of information out of it, you blew it on something so minuscule that helped almost the most negligible amount.
Okay, wait, hang on a second, because at first the video operator said he was like basically freelance, if I'm not mistaken, and it turned out he's been with the organization for 16 years.
Mm-hmm. I thought I was under the impression that he was like a third party, like randomly contracted guy they picked up on like out of like in the streets of Southie and like dragged him out.
Yeah, go on his LinkedIn page. He's pretty proud of his service with the Kraft family. And also, if that's what your advanced scout I don't know. The advanced scout was there and you're taping all this stuff. I mean, that is bad optics, but okay.
Well, here's the thing that stands out to me about this whole thing is that recently Bill Belichick was on one of those top 100 NFL network shows, right?
Yeah.
And he's asked by Chris Collinsworth, like, hey, Bill, how do you, you know, what's your philosophy? And he quoted Sun Tzu, who's the Art of War, right? The book, the old, you know, Chinese war god, general dude. Right. But the biggest quotes from Sun Tzu, one of the biggest mottos that comes from that book is, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. In other words, you have to know what your enemy is going to do to be the best person at battle, a.k.a. at football. And I think that's why when you look at the teams that the Patriots have played, the one team that sticks out like a sore thumb in terms of having no knowledge about what their coaching staff would do, what formations they would use, what personnel they would use based on previous tape and based on having not played them, would be the Cincinnati Bengals. And I understand they're the one-win Cincinnati Bengals, but the Patriots were up 13-10 at half, and they really, really needed to win that game. Like, that was a game they had to win. They had to win. They had to beat the Bengals, and they have to beat the Dolphins, and they need to beat the Bills, too. I feel like they feel comfortable doing that at home. They need to win all those games to get that bye. And I think that that's the one sense of desperation that sticks out to me in the whole motto of knowing your enemy. But I would guess that if there were something more nefarious at play, it would be along the lines of, hey, listen, FYI, we're doing this shoot at the Brown Stadium with our advanced scout, and then you know it's like, we would prefer to see the B-roll, if you know what I mean, before it gets released or edited. Like, I just want to make sure everything's kosher and buttoned up, if you know what I mean. You know, like that's the extent that I see it happen, because this is so sloppy that it's hard to believe that like a guy like Belichick would be in charge of it.
Well, maybe Belichick isn't. But maybe
I think it's if you want to go deep into conspiracy, I still think it's not a Bill Belichick thing. I think it's an Ernie Adams thing. I think Ernie, because I mean, that's what it was in Spygate. In Spygate, the people were bringing him the tapes. He was deciphering what was going on, matching the signals to what the actual plays were. And then he would give information to Bill Belichick. And I think there's almost like a deniable culpability. It's like, yes, I'm not going to ask where Ernie gets his information from, but I'm going to use it.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Yeah, no, it's like the plausible deniability you always see in college athletics, where these high-level head coaches are like, hey, look, I never talked to the recruit about money or the – you know, it's like if you can create a layer between you and whatever is happening, it allows you to step back and be like, hey, this has nothing to do with football operations, man.
So what is the sense that you're hearing as far as a punishment? And the one thing that we've been talking about is really in the end, it's not a ton of information gained, but they got punished for this before. They got a major punishment. I mean, taking away that pick is huge on top of the fine that they got. And usually when you're punished twice for the same thing after being warned, the punishment doesn't go down. It either stays the same or gets worse. What are you hearing about all this?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like right now, and this is based, I mean, look, I think I wouldn't be surprised if the league drags this out. A, the league has no problem messing with the Patriots. B, the league likes, you know, having the Patriots sort of squiggle under the thumb. And C, it's great for ratings. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, it's all anybody talks about now. So I think the league, I wouldn't be surprised if the league let this go to the Super Bowl for all, you know, for all intents and purposes. And if they do, the longer it goes on, though, I think it's worse for the Patriots because there's more chance to uncover more information. If that happens, maybe you could get to the first round discussion of taking away a first round pick. But it seems like right now the most likely outcome would be a hefty fine and a day two draft pick that the Patriots would lose, because I think any other team would probably be like, look, you can't do this, dum-dums, and a slap on the wrist and a fine and move along. But because the Patriots have their history, if the Bengals are a mitigating circumstance, the Patriots are an aggravating circumstance.
And, sure.
And I just can't imagine that the league will allow the Patriots just to walk away, you know, with losing a fourth round pick. I think they'll try and hammer him pretty good.
And you know, another reason that I subscribe to your NFL wanting to drag it out theory is it also takes away the talk about just how bad the refs have been this year. I mean, think about when this whole story dropped.
It was the refs.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. It was right after that debacle with Kansas City and the Patriots, and then you've got this, and now the whole world is spending more time on this story than, you know, the egregious, I mean, the whole thing with Dallas and the coin flip and all that. I mean, it has just been a banner year when it comes to the refs. And you're right, it's story number two in the NFL right now.
What's story number one?
Well, this one.
Oh, so the refs are story number two. It's Spygate 2.0, Spy Harder is story number one.
All right, well, now you're the immature one. All right. What?
Spy Harder is just it's a sequel. You got to give it a different title.
It's a quality Leslie Nielsen movie.
Yeah.
Does Will have a thought on the Buffalo game this week at all? The line's 7 right now.
A lot of points, Joe. I like the under. I think it's like 38.5. Mm. I mean, look, Stephon Gilmore's going to score 38 points.
Right. He might be the best scoring weapon on either team.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think when you look at those games, I mean, it's not a lot of points, obviously, but, typically speaking, since I think it's I think the under is I guess they played 5 to 6 times, so the under's 4-1, I believe, since Sean McDermott got there, and just because of the way that he coaches and the way that Bill Belichick coaches, and there's not a ton of weapons to take the top off. I would anticipate that Bill Belichick is I mean, I don't know if he's going to put Stephon Gilmore on Smokey Brown, but I mean, I think they're going to try and make sure that John Brown doesn't beat him over the top. And I think that Josh Allen will be a lot more conservative than he was early on in that week, the first time they played, when he was chunking it deep and throwing picks.
Oh, yeah, you got to let Josh Allen go. What could go wrong? You got to let him just whip it around the field, gunslinger style.
Yeah, you do that, and we're talking multiple interception touchdowns.
Yeah, he might throw 85 pick sixes. All right, Will Brinson, thank you so much for the time, sir. And have a wonderful holiday season, no matter what you celebrate.
Merry Christmas. or whatever.
I'm just joking. All right. Thank you, Will Brinson. We'll talk to you next year.
See you, man.
All right. Appreciate it. So there you go. I really hope they drag it out so we can keep talking about it.
I know. Just get this done.
At least it's more interesting than Deflategate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. And I like the fact that there are some people that have finally figured out, or there's people I didn't expect to who are going, come on, man, this is indefensible.
Well, there's fans that are pissed.
So. Oh, well, how many times do I have to say this? If you're a Patriots fan, you have to be so BS about this, because this was something that was so stupid in concept. And if they get a pick taken away for that, how dumb can you be? This is not something that the Patriots do. This is something that awful organizations do that just aren't run well and don't have a good, that aren't managed well from the head down. That is not the Patriots. And for them to do this, how stupid can you be?
By the way, we were talking about the draft last year, and Lockhart made the comment that the best only pick that is any good was the punter. And in all seriousness, I'm not joking. I mean, do you care if they lose a pick?
If Brady's gone, yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal. If they lose a first or second rounder and Brady's gone.
Yeah, if you lose a mid-round pick, that might piss Belichick off more than anything, though.
Who are they going to? I mean,
well,
I
he guess loves those mid round picks.
Well, yeah, you can use. Yeah, you can get yourself another punter because
he's a long snapper. Damn good punter.
You know, you got long snapper there.
Jake Bailey, the muff maker.
Yep,
got no problem with that.
All right, we'll be back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Oh. Christmas song.
Yeah. Very talented. Gifted MCs.
There's just one guy, I think his whole entire job is just going,
Just have you ever seen the Saturday Night Live skit with the Yuengling twins when they're in therapy?
No.
Oh, it's great. It's really funny.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the Yuengling twins in therapy. And they're like arguing about that one guy wanted the certain color Lamborghini, and then they start crying. All right. what's going on in here? You know, Christmas is just around the corner. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard that, but I believe it's a week from tomorrow.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
week from tomorrow. Old Santa and his gang of mutant reindeer.
Do you have somebody in your neighborhood, Joe, who goes above and beyond with the Christmas decorations?
No.
Okay.
No. But back in the day, like, we used to have a little section called Little Italy. Used to go over there. They'd light that up in the city. And there used to be a house in Millis that would just light it up. And it was really good, but
see,
yeah.
Is there anything like that? Because like when I grew up in the redneck nowhere in Kennesaw, there was this car dealer that had this giant house and a huge like driveway, and he made this massive drive-through like Wonderland. Like,
we had that here.
What is it?
It was called Christmas in Millis. It was a car dealer.
Okay, it was a car dealer, and he had that mess, and it's not around anymore.
Nope.
That stuff was kind of awesome. There was always like a long-ass line down the street to do it. But it was this massive, like, drive-through Christmas light display that was kind of interesting. I don't know if there's anything like that around.
Yeah, well, if you go to the Stoneham Zoo,
I've done the Stoneham Zoo, but you got to stop and you got to walk around, you got to freeze. Yeah. And I've done it, and it's all right. And the kids actually like that. But here's a different type of Christmas light display. This is a news story. I think this is this might be Kansas City. I'll have to double check. But this is a real story. And Fred, I will let you roll the tape.
Does it involve Johnny Gomes?
It does not. Enjoy it. Why would it involve Johnny Gomes?
He won a World Series as a quasi-member of the Kansas City Royals.
That's right.
Santa's going to see more than a chimney on the roof of one Lenexa home when he flies in on his sleigh.
What do you think it looks like?
Well, it looks like a giant lit up.
You know, a man's...
He said a giant little.
Giant lit up.
Oh, lit up.
Yeah.
Is it a fifi or a wee-wee?
That would be a wee-wee.
Ah. Me likes.
It's like.
Well, it looks like a giant lit up.
You know, a man's private parts. Until now, Marcelo and Christy Vergara haven't seen the display that's lighting up some people in their Whispering Hills neighborhood.
Well, it's certainly a statement. I don't know to what, but probably not appropriate.
All right. The best thing about it is, sure enough, it's a gigantic penis that is on top of the roof in like Christmas lights. But this newscast blurred out just the bottom of it. So like the gun handle, but not the nozzle.
Well, that everyone knows. Everyone knows the dirtiest part of the penis is the bottom.
So
if you're giving a movie a rating, you go, oh, well, at least they blacked out the bottom.
They left the twig, blurred the berries.
So there's testicles on this thing as well?
Oh, yeah, Fred, I mean, I'll show you a picture of it. But, yeah, I mean, absolutely it is.
Now this, I guarantee you, these people have a pit in their living room where orgies take place.
Dude, you'd be surprised, man. Listen to they talk to the owner.
Mm. Does he have a fishbowl full of keys?
How about does she?
Ooh, is it Big Frida?
No, it is not Big Frida.
It reminds me of like Austin Powers when that thing's in the air. And it's like, man, it looks like a big giant Woody. And yeah. They just keep saying these different things.
I wonder if it's someone from AC/DC's house.
Oh, yes. Merry Christmas. We bought it from the Beastie Boys.
I saw Beastie Boys on Licensed Ill Tour, and they had a penis that came out of the amps.
And we're blurring it to keep it PG-13. Questions surrounded the monstrosity sitting on this roof formed by 60 feet of lights. Could it be a guitar? Maybe a funky sleigh.
The neighborhood.
A funky sleigh. That's what people say when they see me. They go, look at that monstrosity. Are you even human? I see. I say,
go ride my sleigh.
Say, won't you?
Won't you ride my sleigh tonight? Merry Christmas.
Like they haven't done that before.
I have a shirt that says Merry Christmas on it.
Merry Christmas! Now give me under the mistletoe, sir.
Oh, no! Oh, oh! It seems, Tommy Thayer, you have walked under the mistletoe. Right there. Just roll the hamper under the mistletoe.
That's a good idea. I put mistletoe up, and when someone goes to put their drawers in the hamper, I pop up and I go, it's the law! Give me a little chaos.
You cannot break Christmas law.
Sometimes it's funny, and I'll still have a jock strap on my face.
When I'm going for the chaos. Oh, no, I got pink eyes.
That's, hey, them's the breaks.
All right.
Here we go. Oh, look at that. I got to buy the property next stop. Look at that big old thing. That's what I call a love gun. Ooh, look at that. So nice.
Sir, what do you think about it?
Like you don't have to take it down.
Look at the picture. They just blur the balls.
I don't know. Well, at least it's not erect.
Questions surrounded the monstrosity sitting on this roof formed by 60 feet of lights. Could it be a guitar? Maybe a funky sleigh?
The neighborhood's kind of like vibes kind of gone down because everyone's kind of uptight, so it's more of kind of the orneriness.
We asked the creator, 24-year-old Shelby Gash, what is it?
Not interested!
I mean,
you're on the naughty list.
This is an onion story.
Yes.
Like at that moment, it turned into an onion story.
Yes, indeed.
She's like a cute 24-year-old girl with an unfortunate name.
Yeah, you got to change that name. And that can't be easy growing up.
We asked the creator, 24-year-old Shelby Gash, what is it?
A giant glowing.
At first, neighbors got a kick out of it.
I don't know what I would have done if I would have driven. I probably would have wrecked my car.
And that's what Shelby intended.
People think Death. It's hilarious. People are stopping in the middle of the night, taking photos and laughing. People think it's so much fun. I think there's a lot more laughter than it's bringing out anything uncomfortable, you know.
But then neighbors were turned off by the image.
It's a joke that wears out pretty quick.
It's a joke, yeah, and I don't think it's appropriate for little kids. Yeah.
The lights lasted only 4 days, not as long as Shelby anticipated.
Sorry if this was actually really bothering people. I'm just trying to make a laugh.
After hearing how it might upset neighbors with young children, Gash decided it best to unplug and take the lights down on this display. Reagan Porter, Fox 4 News.
No, I don't know how your kids are going to put two and two together, but there you go.
Never unplug. Never unplug the lights.
No.
You leave them up there until someone pulls the plug themselves.
The man
you
is
never pull the plug. Nope.
What kind of... I kind of want to get to know her a little bit better.
Like I want her to pull my plug! Love plug! Just kidding.
All right. There you go.
You can't even have a penis on your house. If she's a 24-year-old homeowner, good for her.
I know, and she's, like, cute.
Well, listen. Who are you? Who are we to judge what someone wants? A little under half the population has penises. Mm-hmm. Not something you're not going to experience. But this is where we live. All right, so Rich, I heard rumors that maybe you're going to be seeing the Star Wars film.
Maybe.
But Bert is.
Bert is, so's Nick. So expect emotional exhaustion.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
Because, I mean, this is, if you like the adventures. Now, this is the final Star Wars.
Well.
Of this, story.
Of the Skywalker saga. That is the way it's being sold. Whether it ends up being that way or not, who knows? But I do have early spoiler-free reactions to Star Wars. The world premiere was last night, and we have some of the early spoiler-free reviews. Also, Antonio Brown, just when you think he couldn't go any more nuts, he does it again.
All right, so here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stacking it up. 98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Well, it doesn't come out till late Thursday night, but early word is in. Star Wars. The Rise of Skywalker.
Ah, where are you going, Skywalker?
He's being risen somewhere.
And oh, in this, Luke.
And in this case, last night was the Hollywood premiere with all the stars and bloggers and things like that. And there is indeed a big rule that you're not allowed to review the film until, I think, Wednesday. I think tomorrow morning when Bird and Nick do their own spoiler-free review. But they are allowed to just give their impressions and spoiler-free stuff. And Twitter yesterday with all the bloggers was ablaze. And here are some of the first ones. And these are all from, you know, different geek blogs and stuff like that. So take it for what it is. Someone said, I realized in the first 20 minutes of Star Wars that it's the best film in this trilogy. And it keeps getting better right throughout the end. Oh, my God, I'm absolutely blown away. I've never been so satisfied by a film. Ooh, that is speaking. Putting the gauntlet down. In the end, it's the end of an era of a franchise that has defined my life. Well, this is somebody who really, really likes Star Wars. The Rise of Skywalker is a good one. Ultimately satisfying movie conclusion to the trio of trilogies. This is the ending Star Wars deserves. And in one of the negative reviews, it says the Star Wars Rise of Skywalker is certainly the most convoluted Star Wars. There's a lot I liked, but the first half gets so bogged down with exposition and new plot and doodads and beacons and transmitters, it feels like it should have been three movies on its own.
I
definitely wish. Do like they did with The Mandalorian, which I am enjoying. Yeah. Bill Burr in the latest episode of The Mandalorian.
I don't get, I was talking to a friend about this, so you know I'm lying. No, but I don't get the overall like obsession with Star Wars. That people are so wrapped up in this particular franchise. I don't understand.
I understand the people who were young when it came out because there was nothing like that at the movie theaters. And I can understand you being completely taken aback by it. And it just, you wanted to get all the Star Wars toys. You wanted to do all that. You know, I was barely alive when Star Wars started.
Yeah, same with me. But I saw Empire Strikes Back. My dad let me leave school for Return of the Jedi.
Yep. Yeah, that was a big one. And
but
then,
I didn't particularly like care about the movies. I just liked the toys.
You see, I loved the one, what's number 7? The first one that J.J. Abrams did. The Force Awakens. I loved The Force Awakens.
Well, I liked it too. I saw it. I'm not talking about liking the films. I'm talking about like it when people like consume everything that's Star Wars, that you know, that emotion that comes with, you know, when people are crying and things like that, and I don't have a problem with it, and it would be nice if I like something that much, as I've often said.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand why in particular Star Wars is, because the first Star Wars sucks.
The first Star Wars didn't suck if you saw it in the theater when you were of age to see it. It does not hold up. So if you see it for the first time now, you're like, man, that ending is so long. And now even the special effects look dated then. Empire does not suck. Empire is a great movie, and it still holds up.
Empire Strikes Back is a good movie.
Yeah, and Jedi is mostly a very good movie.
I've liked the last two, though.
I did, too. I really liked Force Awakens, because I thought Force Awakens was borderline flawless. The Last Jedi had amazing stuff in it, but there's, like, two scenes that you just kind of go, like, there's the, you know, Leia, that whole scene with her was really weird. And then there was a whole plot line that just... like the casino world, which was just strange. Yeah. And I didn't even need to be there. And a character, that Rose character, I don't even think really served a purpose in it. It was just odd.
Read a book.
But they're bringing J.J. who's better in the fan fiction that they based it off of. Yes. So we will have the spoiler-free review from Nick and Bird tomorrow. Most tweeted about lists have come out for the year 2019. Starting with the most tweeted about television shows, what do you believe made number one this year?
Game of Thrones.
The Game of Thrones comes in at number one. At number two, Stranger Things. And at number three, The Simpsons. Most tweeted about movies, what came in at number one?
What was the big movie? Go ahead. Go ahead, Bird. It was set in my
What head. Is it?
Avengers.
Yeah, Avengers Endgame, obviously. Emotionally exhausted. Mm-hmm.
People just trying to recover. Sitting on the couch at the shrink's office.
Yes. Number two is Toy Story 4. Number three, Joker. And most tweeted about musicians, Fred. This is where I'm just going to start naming names. You tell me if you know who they are.
All right.
Number one, BTS.
Nope.
Okay. That is that Japanese, right? They're Japanese. It's the Japanese, like, boy band. And they've got... put it this way. If you watched one of their videos, it's hypnotic. It's, I think, 7, maybe even 8 of them. And they all move together in this way that is hypnotizing. You have to see it.
I'm more into K-pop.
I know. Well, they are K-pop. They're the definition of K-pop.
Well, I thought that was Korean.
Oh, I'm sorry. J-pop. This is J-pop.
Okay.
Yeah, well, not K-pop.
Okay, let's... Oh, they are K-pop.
Oh, the Korean?
Come on, Rich.
I thought they're from Japan.
BTS, South Korea.
Ah, okay. All right.
I saw them on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, they're fascinating to watch. Yeah,
I just feel sorry for them.
Ariana Grande coming in at number two. You know who she is.
Yeah, she was on Victorious. She wasn't the good one on Victorious either.
You'll actually know all these. Drake at number three. Huh? Rihanna at number four.
Who?
Cardi B at number five.
Huh?
Apparently she farts on her Instagram. Justin Bieber, number
she
six.
Does?
That's what somebody called earlier and tried to get through.
And said that on purpose?
I don't know.
What is she, Jenny McCarthy?
Yeah, she might be. Beyonce at number seven. Kanye West at eight. And Billie Eilish at number nine. Most tweeted about sports teams is interesting. Now, this is in the world. So there's only one American team that is on here. Can you guess what it is?
The one American team only that would be on there.
Most tweeted about sports team of the year. Number one is FC Barcelona, then Real Madrid, Manchester United. A lot of soccer. There's only one, and it comes in at number 10.
Is it?
The Milwaukee Brewers.
Toronto Raptors?
You nailed it, Fred. No, not the Raptors. But you're sniffing around the right area.
Sacramento Kings.
Dan says Golden State. It's not Golden State. Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, I tweeted about them a lot.
Well, you have to think it's because these NBA players are international stars. And
you
know, so,
LeBron.
Yep. And the whole deal with Anthony Davis, LeBron James, they come in the only American sports team that was in the top 10. And then you've got the most tweeted about male athletes. Now, that's where it gets interesting. There are the top two are Neymar, Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, and then we have four American athletes in a row, and then someone at number 10. And I'll give you a hint. Several of them are local.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
He is number two, Fred. I had it wrong.
Thank you.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady coming in at number 7. Why was Tom Brady tweeted about so much?
Because he was doing all those really funny tweets.
Rob Gronkowski.
Nope. Not, that's a great guess. Not Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, let me think. Let me get
I'll give you
Ryan Lochte.
I'll give you number four, LeBron James. We just said LeBron, the Lakers. Yeah, were like, yeah, so LeBron James, number four. Number five, Kawhi Leonard. Number six, Kobe Bryant. Huh? Number seven, Tom Brady. Number eight and nine, I've never heard of. They're from another country. And number 10, Antonio Brown, because of all the crap he was doing this year. And speaking of Antonio Brown, he has had quite the 48 hours. So 2 days ago, Antonio Brown starts tweeting and firing off these tweets to a guy who we are presuming is his ex-girlfriend's father, if you read all the tweets. He put, come get your daughter at GPAC. She bringing the police to my house 3 days in a row. When she is block on my gate trying to say she stay here when she been staying in hotels. You came here Thanksgiving, stayed in hotel with her. You got her other two kids. Help her be her dad.
All right. Okay. Well, that's
and then he reads something I don't know if
ripped from the pages of Shakespeare.
That's right. And then he writes something that I don't even know if I can read. Because somebody said...
Because it's just a bunch of ampersands, like the teacher from the Peanuts.
Yeah, wah, 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 wah. I can physically read it, but it uses a term for lesbian in it, which you really can't say in reference to his mama.
Okay.
He says, and someone says, and that attitude keeps you unemployed now the NFL. He goes, sir, you think L-I-L-G-A-F, my mama a blank, my daddy deadbeat, I'm the golden boy, F-O-H. So there's that. And then things got weird yesterday because he tried to get the police involved. He apparently was accusing his ex-girlfriend of stealing his car.
His Bentley.
Yep. He put, Hollywood police will not even report my car stolen. It shows at this address they letting his girlfriend's name ride around stolen cars with my kids with no money or no home. Missed school. Today who we call. Hashtag no white women 2020. Hashtag injustice. And it's got a picture of like a find my phone, like where she is.
Yeah, it's like got like the coordinates and everything.
Yeah, and then he put tow trucks, repo people, someone, anyone, bring me my Bentley. It's at this address. And he writes the address on there and he puts police will not assist me.
Yeah, especially if she's got the kids, just send a repo guy over there and have your way with it. I like how he's more concerned. It sounds like she has the kids too. But he just wants the car back.
Right. Who cares about the kids? As long as I get the Bentley back. And what's great is that just minutes after that, he tweets simply, booming.
Okay. Well, he's doing a lot of drugs, I would say. Doesn't sound like that's a guy who's...
No.
...is in a right frame of mind.
No, just not.
That sounds... I'm no expert, but that might be a freebase situation. All right. Speaking of freebasing, we'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way. In just a matter of moments. He's still there. 985 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and I can see them, but they are not putting on their headphones. I can see Hardy and Zolak. They are in the house. All right. Hello, guys.
Hey. Hi.
You're on a delay, so it's weird looking at you. I'll tell you, it's tricky.
It's never weird looking at you, Fred.
No, you. It's weird looking at you. Take that. Coming back here. Double guns. All right. So guess what time I got here today?
Probably on time. I didn't get a text today.
5:33.
5:33.
Attaboy.
5:33.
That's good.
Yep. 5:33 in the morning.
How's this guy eat?
What time did Rich get there?
Like 6:30.
Yeah.
You serious?
Yeah. We got here about 6:30.
Yeah, you were late yesterday, so he'd be late today. That's standard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys have a lot of energy today. I'm looking forward to your show.
Listen, we got to...
We can only bring as much as you had.
We got a lot of stuff. Here's what I'm going to do today.
We're going to do New Kids on the Block.
I just decided this because normally when Zoe and Beetle are down here, I'm back in Dorchester, and I have to listen to the constant rumblings of Zoe's mic headset.
Yeah.
And every time you do that today.
I said you don't hear me chew. Like I put it down here.
I'm being totally serious right now. And Fred, Rich, you guys are listening to it right now, right?
Rich just sat down. Yes.
Okay.
So it's, technically, he was late to this break, which makes up for me being late yesterday.
It was for good reason.
Even you touching your fingers on it right now, it sounds terrible.
I was like
people turn the radio off every time you touch your headset.
They'll be back.
No.
Yeah.
No. They tune out and they don't come back because that's all they're listening to.
That sound.
Zolak is a bad boy. He's like these cats that burp into the mic. He don't care.
He tried to call me out this morning. I said that
I called you out. I didn't try. I called you out. That's one of the worst takes ever. New Kids on the Block. I loved it.
I said if you were a guy when New Kids on the Block came out, you hated them. You hated him if you were a guy. And he's like, no, I love the New Kids. I'm like, you silly goose. You never liked the New Kids on the Block.
Is this the end? They had some good jams.
Weren't you a little...
Come on, Murray. Big Joe Murray's sitting there.
Even for a guy like New Kids, weren't you a little old for New Kids?
Yeah, but I dug the boy banders. I did Doug NSYNC, all that stuff.
You were in college when they were out. You didn't the New Kids?
Did you go to their shows?
No, I wouldn't go to the shows.
You were such a liar. You were just trying to, like, you know, get, hey, Jim? Yeah, New Kids. There's no way you liked the New Kids on the Block. You were rocking...
Name five New Kids songs.
Is This the End? Hanging Tough?
That's easy. Like, anyone can name the songs. It's whether you're lying about liking them.
You can't name them.
I don't know, Fred. I haven't listened to them in a while, but I didn't hate them.
You named that, but yeah.
By the way, but Joe, you're all about the neighborhood.
That's right. I was from the hood.
Whoever came out of the
That's
hood,
what
whoever,
I liked.
Whoever made it out of the streets, you had to respect that.
Got behind them.
You knew the.
I was singing Please Don't Go Girl, and I repped it.
Yep. Please Don't Go Girl, yes.
You say, what's up with the Chester? By the way, if you're ever going to buy real estate in Dorchester right now because it's about to go off. Mm-hmm.
You could not be more right about that. Just this area right here, get ready.
Yep, because this is the whole Savin Hill and all that stuff is going to be insane.
Hey, I'm telling you, that Globe building, it's going to be nice when they're done. I never thought that they're going to be able to dress that thing up. I know that because of issues, they couldn't tear it down and build up, but they had to dress it up.
Too bad they built it on a ditch. Because anytime it rains, you can't get anywhere on this road.
Yeah, nice lipstick on that pig.
The constant flooding of Morrissey Boulevard is probably going to be an issue.
Traffic won't be an issue, will it?
All right, so you guys... going to do the Patriots and all these things, I take it?
We're going to start with Mr. Breeze.
Yeah, Drew Breeze.
All right. Well, great.
Fred.
What?
Okay, Fred.
Okay,
Fred,
guys.
Go home.
Okay. Bye.
Be honest. Wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at granitecityelectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.